Welcome to Let's Do It Radio, sponsored by DoItAllInTheMall.com, and to all of our listeners worldwide. But a special welcome to our first-time listeners. Welcome, welcome, welcome to each and every one of you. This is your hostess, Miss Inez, CEO and fashion designer of Anais Valco Design, broadcasting to you worldwide, along with Reverends Rodney and Carolyn McCullough from Spread the Word Ministry out of Arlington, Texas. Hello, 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 and greetings, where all of our entrepreneurs can be found under the client section on the homepage of doitallinthemall.com, which is owned and operated by Sharon Salisbury Frazier out of Yakima, Washington. And it is a safe and secure 24/7 online shopping mall of over 5,000 stores, which has been in business for over 13 years and has all your shopping needs. You can visit the site and shop while listening to entertainment, all in the comfort of wherever you may be. You can make that difference nationwide, worldwide. So visit, take a tour, and shop. Today is Wednesday, Bible Study Wednesday, July 7th, 2021. And welcome to Wednesday Bible Study, on the topic of a committed disciple, which will be taken from Colossians 3. So have your Bibles ready, so when they say, y'all turn to, please be ready to turn to Colossians 3. So please join the Bible study conversation at 845-241-9985. You can shop through Do It All in Mall, where you can find all of your religious items, Bibles in all languages, religious charms and other religious paraphernalia, along with anointing oils and more shops to come in the religious section of course, doitallinthemall.com. Or if you have a religious product and you would like to promote, fill out a contact us form on the homepage of Do It All in the Mall, and please be kind enough to send it in to us so we can peruse and see what you have to offer. Thank you so much for joining us today as we go through our normal routine of our commercials.
We do not own the rights to any information or music you hear at Let's Do It Radio.
And we will hear a song entitled Fully Committed by Kingdom. Amen.
All that I am.
Such a pretty song.
And all that I hope to be.
Committed to your will and to your way.
I'll make
Presented by Reverend Carolyn McCullough. But first, I want to welcome Reverends Carolyn and Rodney McCullough to today's Bible study. Hello. Say hello to your listeners.
Hello, listening audience. We're so happy that all of you are here, and we're happy to be here ourselves. So will you join me in prayer at this time? I first want to say good
Amen.
Evening, good afternoon to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to report that Reverend Leo had a very successful eye surgery today.
And oh, wonderful.
She is doing very well, and she says that the people were just really, really good to her, and that the one had mannerisms like Sister Eileen and the other had the name Carol. So she was feeling real good being in the company that she was in, and that everything went so very well for her. So she's getting ready to follow her instructions now. But I just want to first say thank you, God, for this successful surgery. Thank you for looking after Reverend Liz and bringing her out carefully. She had cataract surgery today. So we thank God for you today, oh Lord. We thank you. So Heavenly Father, we come to you at this time saying thank you for another day. Thank you for, again, showing yourself real in our lives. Thank you for the healing that you're bringing swiftly to Reverend Leo. We thank you for a successful surgery. We pray that as she continues to follow all of the instructions of the doctor, that she will see a speedy recovery. We thank you, and we ask you to forgive us for all of our sins tonight, and do not allow anything that we have said or done to hinder us from being in your presence. We thank you, oh God, for all that you're doing. have done, and will do. Now we ask that you make us all to be in one accord, and that you fill us with your
Amen.
Spirit, and that you allow your Spirit to abide in all of us. Help us, O God, to not just be hearers of your word, but to be doers of your word also. Help us to
yes.
read the scriptures, and help us to allow the scriptures to be manifested in each of our lives. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for Ms. Inez. We thank you for Sister Saran.
Yes.
We thank you for Sister Janet and all of those who are
yes.
participants in Let's Do It Radio, God. And we ask that
thank
you continue to allow the radio to do what you would have it do, oh God. We thank you for the listening
yes, yes.
audience, and we pray that you will continue to bless all who are partnered with Spread the Word and Let's Do It Radio. And we pray that you will be with all of us. We thank you for Reverend Rodney. We thank you for how you are leading and guiding him, and that how you will help him to him and I to go through this lesson today. And we just bless your name. Thank you for Colossians, the third chapter, which gives us very good foundational basis
Amen.
For us to do what we need to do with Christian living. Help us to not just read it, but to internalize it and to grow in grace. So we thank you for how you're going to grow us all today from this lesson. In the name of Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Ooh. Amen. Amen again. Now we will
Amen.
Go into Bible study, a committed disciple.
Amen. Amen. Greetings to all. Greetings to all. It's good to be
greetings.
Good to be back in radio land. That's what I can call it. Good to be back in radio land. Hopefully everyone is doing fine and are being blessed by the Lord wherever you find yourself. And I want to say this, wherever you find yourself, if you are a believer in the Lord, you can also find the Lord there. Why? Because God is everywhere. And we are praying that he is
yes,
resting
yes.
in you and abiding with you even right now.
Yes.
Lord, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for all of your blessings. Say that because you're always blessing us, oh God, in spite of us. So we thank you for your goodness, and we also thank you for your grace, and we certainly thank you for your mercy. Thank you, oh God, for the report.
Thank you.
For Reverend Will. All is well, oh God.
Yes.
Once again, you have showed yourself real. Early this morning, before the procedure, we were praying, and now after the procedure,
yes.
our prayer has been answered, oh God. And that's just the type of God you are. One who we ask
yes,
and you answer.
Yes.
So we thank you now. I pray that her recovery is a swift one, oh God, and I pray that she will
yes.
be even better now than she was before, if that's possible, oh God. But again,
thank
all
you.
Things are possible through you. Bless us now as we walk our way through this study with you, oh God. This is your word, and we're your children. We're yours, oh God. So really, you in total control. So I pray that you would please forgive us of all of our sins. And allow all of us to be worthy, wherever we find ourselves, all of us to be worthy to be able to receive your word on tonight, oh God.
Yes,
again,
yes.
we love you and we thank you.
Yes.
In Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I love that song.
Amen.
I love that song. I thought
oh,
I just say
too.
Reverend
Inez. Oh, preach.
I'm getting ready, getting ready to
okay.
say Reverend Inez. I love. I love that song.
Hey, do you know something I don't know, bro?
I don't know. It was about to come right out of my mouth. Right out of my mouth.
So, I have. Would you say you have a prophecy for me?
Yeah. Amen. Song says, all that I am. Fully committed. All that I am and all that I hope to be, all my desires and all my abilities, fully committed
yes.
to your will and
fully.
To your way. Going to say,
yes.
I'll make the sacrifice And sometimes it's not easy to make sacrifices. I'll make the sacrifice to do what you asked me to do. And then the chorus, fully committed. My hands, my heart, my mind, every part of me. Yeah, I'm fully committed.
Yeah.
Until the day I die. Sure. Yes. Yes. Fully committed. And so we want to talk about being a committed disciple. Being a committed disciple. And if we ought to be a committed disciple, that song should be the bedrock, the foundation of what we believe. Because we don't just want to be, we want to be fully committed. Fully committed.
Right.
Matthew chapter 3, beginning at verse number 18 says, while walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother. And they were casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And immediately they left their net, and they followed him. And going down from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. They were in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their net. And he called them. And immediately they left their boats and their father, and they followed him. And that was the beginning of Jesus calling together his disciples. You know, he had 12 that was close, but there were also many other disciples. And as we study, we are reminded that we are extensions. We should be. We know Jesus as our Savior. Mm-hmm. We should be extensions of Jesus Christ's disciples. We're not one of the original 12, but we should be extensions. We should be extensions of Jesus' disciples. He's also given us a mandate to go and make disciples, right? All nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Ghost. And so we want to look at that a little closer. And we, as Reverend Carroll already said, we'll be looking at Colossians. We begin with the first 11 verses, and we look at verses 12 through 17, and then we just close, if we have time, with verses 18 through 25. If you look at most of that third chapter of Colossians.
Reverend Rodney, may I say something, please?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. One of the things that we want us all to keep in mind, that as we go through this, we're going to be evaluating the things we need to do to measure whether or not we are a disciple. So keep that in mind. If these things that we talk about does not apply to you, then that might mean there will need to be some work done. And so we want to point that out and make that clear as we are going through today.
Amen. Thank you. And that's important because along the way, questions will be asked. Questions will be asked. Now, the questions will be asked of each of us, and the questions that are asked of each of us are to be answered by each of us. I can't answer the question for Reverend Carolyn, and I can't answer the question for Inez or anybody else except me.
Right.
When the question is asked, or when the questions are asked, it's for us not to think, well, let me see how somebody else fares up to or down to this question. Mm-hmm. No, the questions are for us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. So, Reverend Carolyn, if you would read for us, maybe the first three verses. the first three verses of Colossians chapter 3, and we'll look at what we can glean from those
and
verses.
And I am reading from the English Standard Version. And it says, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory.
Amen.
I'm sorry.
Amen. Amen. That's okay. It's all good. It's all good. So things we need to do to measure not whether or not we are a committed disciple or a disciple. The first thing is obvious, but you can't take anything obvious when you're dealing with things of the Lord. The question or the statement is, are we saved? Are we saved? Are we saved? We can't even begin to talk about being a disciple or a committed disciple before we give our lives to Christ. Because before we give our lives to Christ, we have really no understanding of what a committed disciple of Christ is. And a disciple is a follower. We want to be disciples of Jesus Christ. Anybody can have disciples. You know, some of the disciples have disciples. Even today, we can have disciples. We can have people, you know, we can start a little cult, whatever, that has nothing to do with Jesus Christ, and have people following us, you know? In essence, some of these politicians have disciples. Some of them have disciples, because they are people who follow, they are people who follow the politicians. And they follow them, and a lot of them are fully committed. And we don't want this discussion certainly to go in that direction, but certainly there are people who are fully committed to certain politicians, and that's their defense. They can be called disciples. But we want to be called disciples of Jesus Christ. And in order to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, we have to have given our lives to Christ. That's what I'm talking about, just in case anybody don't understand when we talk about being saved, having found salvation in Jesus Christ. So the first question is for you, not for me. When I ask it, it's for you, but when I ask it, it's for me too, but it's for you to answer, for all of us to ask, are we saved? Have we said, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I need you to come into my life, save me from my sins. Not only save me from my sins, but be Lord of my life. In that initial step, we can't even go to step two.
Correct.
You know, I'm looking at a lot of pieces of things. I bought my granddaughter. We bought our granddaughter some little little mini brains. In a little supermarket. So the supermarket came together that I have to put together, so she can put the little mini brands on the shelves. And they have little carts in the store and refrigerators in the store. It looks just like a little store.
I remember.
And I started putting it together. and I stopped putting it together. I haven't started back putting it together yet. So many little pieces, so many steps. And as I read through the steps, I can't go to the second step until I finish the first step. And that's kind of how
that
it
part.
Is with us. That's kind of how it is with us and becoming a committed disciple. The first step is always finding Christ in our lives. So, after we have established that we all know Christ as a Savior, we must live a holy life and have a transformed mind. Can I say that again? We must live a holy life and have a transformed mind, dealing with spiritual matters, and live accordingly. Then, I'll read again. Then, if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. Verse number 3, for you have died, And your life is hidden with Christ in God. Am I living? Question for us is, am I living a holy life? We all don't have to answer at once, nor do we have to answer out verbally. But you need to think about and ponder that question. Are you living? Am I living a holy life? And you know who knows? God knows. Even if we don't know, God
knows. He sees everything.
He sees everything. Someone might think, well, you know, we should know whether or not we live in a holy life. Yes. But in some instances, we may not know totally. But God knows.
Correct.
As Inez says, God knows everything. Not only does God know everything, God is every place.
He sees. Yes.
All at the same time. I'm sitting in the office at my house, and God sees me. You're in wherever you are, God sees you. Whoever else
right.
is on the line, God is sitting with them. God is sitting with Reverend Lil. God is with all of us.
Each and every
and
one
God
of us.
Knows
that's
it.
Right.
Yeah, he is. Have your mind been transformed so that I deal with matters spiritually, and am I living accordingly? Have my mind been transformed? Have your mind been transformed so that I deal with matters spiritually, and am I living accordingly? Verse number 3, I must die to my flesh. I must die to my flesh and be yielded to the Holy Spirit. I must die to my flesh and be yielded to the Holy Spirit. Let's talk a little bit about dying to your flesh. Because somebody may not understand that. What does that mean? What does that mean to you? What does it mean when the scripture says we have to die to our flesh? Not only die to our flesh, but be yielded to the Holy Spirit. Let's talk about that a minute.
Anybody.
Just a word.
When we die
in
our flesh, we have to become new creatures. We have to shed our old ways and our old things that we used to do to become new creatures so that we can be used properly and be kind of like a clean slate. That's how I think, but maybe I'm wrong.
Amen. That's exactly how I see it. And say that part you said again about a clean slate. Repeat that part.
You have to become a clean slate. I did the rewind button.
I know. I see.
But you have to be, you know, you have to shed the old skin like a lizard and take on a new body and like I say, become a new clean slate, because you know we got to get rid of our old ways so that we can be taught and be like vanilla or whatever, so that we can be we don't go back to our old ways, so that we can be used and used properly and be taught, just like we get everything erased, so that we can be fresh creatures, a fresh slate.
That's good. That's it. That's exactly right. It used to be a toy out a long time ago when I was a child where you could, I don't
not
know.
Not the Etch-A-Sketch.
It might be the Etch-A-Sketch. You could make all these marks on it, and then you could wipe it clean.
Shake it. It's the Etch-A-Sketch.
And wipe it clean and start all over again. And in essence, that's what you're saying. That's what you said. Listen to this.
Exactly.
Listen to this. We must die to our flesh, but we shouldn't think that we could die to our flesh once and never have to do it again.
Huh.
We have to die to our flesh all the time, you know?
Every day.
I told folk once, we were out in the park having a service in the park, and I said every day, every night we should be having little mini funerals. We should be burying our flesh, our old flesh. Every night before we go to bed, we should be having little mini funerals in our lives for us to bury our flesh. Because things keep rising up. We can't die to our flesh just once. We have to keep dying. Has to be daily. Has to be
right.
A pattern. Has to be a way. Has to become a way of life. And
yielded
to the Holy Spirit. Reverend Carolyn, if you can talk a little bit about being yielded to the Holy Spirit, if you're still on the line, yielded. What does that mean? What does that mean to the listener? Being yielded. How do we yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit? What does that mean in plain,
simple terms?
It simply
means that when we became saved, then we took on another nature. And that nature is the Spirit of God that we take on, or the Spirit of Jesus. And what we do is that Jesus died for us, so when he died for us, he became our Savior. But then we make him our Lord. And when we make him our Lord, that means that we are willing to move out of the way. And when we move out of the way, then he is able to take control in our lives and continue to lead us in the way that we need to be led. But if we do not allow him to be Lord, then we are still walking in our own self. And the self is going to be preoccupied with self. The self doesn't have anything to do with us spiritually. So we want to be yielded to allowing the Lord to be the head of our lives in all areas. And when he's the head of our lives, we will consult him on every matter. And we've talked about this in Bible study before. So we know that we have to be asking the Lord to help us to not allow our own flesh to be in control anymore. We want the Spirit of the Lord to be in control of our lives. And when the Spirit of the Lord is in control of our lives, then we will do things differently. We will act differently. We will think differently. We will have that transformation that we've talked about. So our mind has to be renewed, transformed by the renewing of our minds, and that can become possible when we are allowing the Lord to be in control of our lives. Amen?
That's it. If I'm driving, thank you, Reverend. If I'm driving a car and I see a yield sign, that when I see that yield sign, I have to either slow up or stop. So if I'm driving a car and I see a yield sign, I'm going to slow up or I'm going to stop. And once I slow up or stop, if there's another car coming, I let that car go. I yield to that car. I let that car go in front of me. And in essence, that's what we're doing. We stop, we slow up, and we let God go in front of us. We let God go in front of us. Now, when I get behind that car that I yielded to, for that moment, I'm following that car. For that moment, I am. I may not follow that car in real life. Obviously, I may not follow that car wherever that car goes. But just after I yield to that car, I'm following that car. So now let's look at it in terms of God. If we slow our lives up, allow God to get in, then we should now be following. We should be following Christ, following God. So that's another way, as was explained with Reverend Carroll, that's another way of looking at yielding. When we yield, we let people go in front of us. We let them get we let the other car get the right of way. So what we're doing in essence is allowing God to have the right of way in our lives. Allowing God to have the right of way. Because you know God is not a thief, the scripture says. He's not gonna break in. And although God is all powerful, we still have to allow God to do certain things in our lives. Do y'all agree with that? We still have to allow God. So that sounds strange. We still have to allow God to do certain things in our lives.
But first, we have to invite him in and let him take control.
Amen. Now you back to step one. That's right.
Right.
Invite him in. Because he stands knocking, says in Revelation.
Mm-hmm.
He stands knocking. Mm-hmm. And if any person hears him knocking, first you got to hear him knocking.
Mm-hmm.
Then open up.
Right.
And if you open up, you'll come in.
Correct.
Not my words.
That's right.
That's
in the Bible.
Teaches. That's in the Bible. Reverend already read verse 4. Christ is Lord of my life. I am obedient to God's word and have yielded my life to Christ. When Christ returns, I am assured that I will go home with him. When Christ, this is verse 4 from the Bible, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. I'll read what's written again. Christ is Lord of my life. We address that some. I am obedient to God's word and have yielded my life. We talked about yielding. Yielded my life to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And when Christ returns, because how many know Christ is going to return?
My hand's right.
He's coming back.
Mm-hmm.
When Christ returns, I am assured that I will go home with him. And Thessalonians talks about that, how God's going to crack a loud sound. God's going to crack. Those who are dead in Christ will rise first, and those who are left behind, we'll be caught up in the sky to have a great revival. But we don't know when, because Jesus said, I don't even know. He's the only person knows my Father.
Nobody knows the hour.
Nobody knows the day. Nobody knows the return except my Father, who's in heaven. May not know when, but we do know for a fact that it will happen.
That's right.
People can predict all day long, but that's all that is, a prediction, because nobody knows.
Yeah.
But we need to live our lives like certainly like he is coming back. So just because we don't know when, we don't need to live as if he's not.
Correct.
Because he certainly is.
The question
is asked, is Christ Lord of my life? Is Christ Lord of your life? Ponder that. Think about that. Even the night after we hang up from this radio broadcast. Think about these questions. Am I saved? Am I living a holy life? Have I died to my flesh? Is Christ Lord of my life? Is Christ Lord of my life? And we teach people it's one thing to accept Christ as your Lord and your Savior. It's another thing to allow Christ to be Lord of your life. Those are two different things. They don't happen automatically. They don't happen automatically. And some may disagree. If so, we can have a discussion. They don't happen automatically. Once we accept, we can accept Christ and not allow Christ to be Lord of our lives.
Amen.
I wish they automatically went together, but they don't. You got to put an effort. You got to put an effort in allowing Christ to be Lord of your life. What does that mean? Because that means that I'm going to take a back seat. I'm going to step back. And a lot of people don't want to take a back seat all the time. Sometimes we're okay with taking a back seat when things are convenient. But then other times, We want to take the lead, and we want Christ to take the back. When we want to do what we want to do, those are the times when we want Christ to take the back. And that means that Christ is not Lord of our lives.
You know what, though? He may allow us to take that, and then once we crash, then we'll go back to
him. Yeah.
That's what usually happens. Said, Lord, I won't do that again. You stay in the front all the time.
Exactly. And I'm still on that car. I'm still on the car analogy. Because when we don't yield, what could happen? If a car is coming and we don't yield, we'll crash, just as you just said.
Exactly.
If we don't yield, we'll crash. And many of our lives have crashed. Many of our lives have crashed over and over and over again because we haven't yielded our lives to Christ. And because we haven't, our lives have crashed.
Right. It's kind of God, it's almost like doing driver's ed.
Yes. Yeah. And then God fixed the kind of guy that we serve. He patches the car, patches us up, fix us up, get back on the road, keep on going. And we crash again.
But yeah, and it's like driver's ed, you know, you have your wheel and then the other driver has their wheel or their brake or whatever. And so basically it's like the same thing. And you say you've been in a driver's seat, but yet somebody else has the wheel that used to be a long time ago, you know. That's when we were other days. But now things have changed. And so once we let go of the wheel, we just should just let God take the wheel. As we say, you know, hold my mule and take the wheel. Just let it go.
Yeah. Amen.
Let it go.
Amen. Hey man, there's a song about that, but it's the reverse. Don't let Satan ride. Because if you let him ride, he'll want to drive. Something like that. Let Satan in the car.
I haven't heard that one. Okay.
You haven't? You have heard it or haven't?
Have not.
Brother Carolyn, am I explaining it right? I think Shanty liked that song and used to play it all of the time. But the connotation of it is don't let Satan ride, because if you let him ride,
you don't want to
drive. But if you let him in your life, you don't want to take over your life. You let him in the car, you want to take over the car. You let him in your life, you want to take over your life.
Right.
And that's true. Reverend Carroll, continue to read all the way down from verse 11.
Okay. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. So we're really, as you were saying, that we're really living a surrendered life. Think about what the song says: I surrender all.
Yeah.
Well, just as the song fully committed just got through saying as well.
I'm fully committed. Yes, I love that song. I love that song. Let me see. Fully committed. I can do words.
All that I am, and all that I hope to be, all my desires and all my abilities, I'm fully committed. Same thing mm-hmm. you're saying, Reverend. I make the sacrifice to do what you ask
mm-hmm.
me to do. Then it says my hand, my heart, my mind, every part of me, I'm fully committed. Until the day I die, fully committed.
So what you're saying is that I'm still trying to be in charge of my life. I'm not fully committed to Christ. And if I'm not fully committed to Christ, my lifestyle may not change. Who I am may not change.
Mm-hmm.
What I do and how I do it may not change.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And if all of those things are remaining the same, how then can I expect to have a victorious life in Christ when I'm the same as I was before Christ?
You can't.
Mm-mm. You don't want to go back to that life.
You can't.
No, but I got to work to make some things happen so that things are different for me.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So the question is that, since I became saved, since I came into the knowledge of who Christ is, since I've allowed Christ to be Lord of my life, do I now have a new lifestyle? That's the question. Do I now have a new lifestyle? Is my lifestyle different now than it was before I accepted Christ?
It's supposed
to be. Certainly the
answer
to that should be absolutely yes, right? Go ahead.
You mean?
I thought you had a comment. I thought somebody had a comment.
I did. I said it's supposed to be. You know, we have to, you know, as we say, we have to get fully committed and let, you know, go through those changes and go through those steps so that we can be fully committed to our new ways and our new life. Because we make, you know, we're going to have our downfalls here and there. But, you know, if you keep your eye on the prize and don't stray to the side of the road, you know, try to pick up some rocks and pick up some flowers and stuff and just keep on going straight down the path, you'll be okay. But when you start to, you know, go to the side here, go to the side there, that's when the trouble starts coming in.
Yes. Yes. Thank you for introducing those two words, supposed to be. Yes. It should it should be a difference.
Yes.
And then we need to ask the question, am I being renewed daily? And that speaks also to dying to your flesh. We have to be renewed daily. We have to die to certain things daily, all the time. We have to be renewed daily. Am I seeking knowledge in the image of God? Am I seeking knowledge in the image of God? It's one thing to have book smarts or university smart or college smart or even street smart, whatever kind of smart you want. I'm changing the word from smart from knowledge to smart, but we need to be seeking after the knowledge of God. Am I seeking knowledge in the image of God? Am I seeking a godly thing? There's a scripture also that says, set your mind on things that are above. We just read it. Seek the things that are above where Christ is seated. And that's back in the beginning of verse number one.
As
a true and committed disciple, I must love and accept everyone. Let me read that again. As a true and committed disciple, I must love and accept everyone without prejudice, because everyone is defined by Christ and is included in Christ. Verse number 11 again. Here there is not Greek and Jew. Here there is not Greek and Jew. Circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, that Christ is all and in all.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to embrace everybody. We can't make a list of people who we don't want to have anything to do with.
Why not?
And I think that is probably also why we, even in politics, we as Christians in politics are going to have to choose carefully how we decide whether we're going to serve or work with a particular party over another, because that separates. And anything that separates does not allow us to work the way the Lord wants us to work.
Mm-hmm.
Right, right. That's true. That's a truism, as they say.
So, as Christians, we are supposed to lead the way regarding all and every area of life. As Christians, we are leading the way in every area of life, right?
Amen.
Right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So that we don't want to be the one known not to love all of God's people, because that's the second greatest command, to love our neighbor as ourselves.
As ourselves, that's right.
Yes. And he didn't say love your white neighbor, love your black neighbor, love your Mexican neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
He said love your neighbor as yourself.
Joe did. And who are your neighbor?
That's right.
Who are your neighbor? Is your neighbor only the people who live right next to you?
No.
That's not the connotation of neighbor in God's eyesight. When it says love your neighbor.
Correct.
So I wouldn't be that small where I just got to love the people down the street from my house. No, God is not that small. Your neighbor is the world. Your neighbor is everybody.
That's right.
We're called to love people from another country.
That's right.
You know, that's our neighbor. That's our neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
And our prayer should be that the United States of America can come to an understanding of that, because there are people around the world that don't have a good impression of the United States of America.
Not at all.
Mm-hmm.
Some rightfully so, and some of the positions may be displaced. Whatever the case is, I think if the United States of America took the approach that the world is our neighbor and we have to treat everybody right, then people will start to feel different about us. It's another topic for another day.
That's right.
And another study. That we are called to love our neighbor.
Always keep it coming. Yes.
Keep it coming.
Yes.
Keep it coming.
Keep
them forward,
studies
let
coming.
Let us look back, and we got to put to death earthly things. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Okay, and that's important there, because I can't ask you. I can't necessarily put to death what's earthly in you. I got to ask God to put to death what's earthly in me. And then it names a lot of things, but there are a lot of things that we deal with that's not even listed here, right? So we can't get tunnel vision and say, oh, well, my problem is not listed there, so maybe my problem is not a problem. When what's listed here is sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires. But if you look at these things, everything, it captures everything in a way of speaking. I guarantee you, if you were to look at all that listed here, probably everything that we could do can be created out of these things that are listed here. Any sin we commit probably can be. Can be differentiated. It's a math term. Can be differentiated.
Differentiated.
Yes. out of what she in the text. Okay? So you put off, you have put off the old self. And when we get into verse 12, we're going to start talking about what we're going to put on. And so that should lead us into the reading of verse 12 through 17. And anyone can read it. We have put, it's asking us to put off things here. And as we go forth further,
mm-hmm.
verse number 12, we're going to have to start putting on some things. Because for everything we put off, we need to also put something on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'll read.
Verse number 12. Go ahead.
Okay. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. I am chosen by God, holy and beloved. Mm-hmm. I am chosen by God, holy and beloved, and I have put on the fruit of the Spirit, demonstrating love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control.
Mm-hmm.
Do I have I put on the fruit of the Spirit? I do by demonstrating love, joy. Oh, that's you all. Mm-hmm.
That's Paul.
13.
That's Paul right there.
I must be
not
patient.
Like
oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
Just for a minute. Have I put on the fruit of the Spirit? That's a good place. Just a pause. Those things you named were what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. So are those things a part of our lives? Are those things a part? They should be.
Yes, they should be.
And self-control is a big one.
Self-control is a big one.
That should be the first one. Next to love.
I watched that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know that that's last, listed last, but that's the big one.
But I think it leads up to self-control, because if you have love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and so on and so forth and so on, it leads to self-control. You shouldn't have to worry about too much about self-control because you love people, you're joy to be around, you have peace of mind, peace of spirit, peace of body, you know, you have patience with everything and everybody, then you're kind to one another, you're gentle, you're good, you know, you have the goodness in your heart, you're faithful to God and to those around you. That should lead to self-control. So, you know, that's a big plus, 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 equals self-control.
Yeah, right. It leads up to that. You have to put all this other stuff together, then what comes out is going to be self-control.
Right.
Well, and that's the same thing that can be said about love.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
So basically going backwards, is that what you're saying? Mm-hmm.
Right. If you love me,
okay,
you will be patient with me. You will have compassion towards me. You will be kind-hearted.
Uh-huh.
You will be humble. You will have a meekness about you with me. You'll be able to bear with me if you really love me.
Okay.
Yeah,
I can go for that.
Yeah, and that's why I've always said the very first one is love. And when you have love first, all these other things will come.
Right.
And this is what I think I hear you saying also, Miss Inez.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they build one deal.
Right. Mm-hmm.
One deal's on the other. Love is important. In essence, all of them are important, and they all work together. I think we can safely say that. They all are important, and they all work together. So, Sister Inez, if you have your Bible, yeah, read from the Bible, verses 12 through all the way through 17, from any translation of the Bible. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And that's from Colossians 3:12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, 13, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. 14. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. 17. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him.
Amen.
Well, see, that right there, verse number 16, is probably one of the things that's missing in many of our lives. Because I believe it's easy for us to go through and read the word, but do we allow the word of Christ to dwell in us richly? And if it's not ruling in our heart, to which you were called in one body, then we will probably not be the people we can be in Christ Jesus.
Right.
Right.
That's a truism.
I believe. Yeah.
That is a truism.
I believe that too.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that too.
Because there would be
and
no room earlier, for anything else if we have all these things in us.
No room. No room for nothing else.
Yeah, and I agree with you. If we get up from our beds every day saying that I'm going to allow the word of God to rule in me richly today. Well, if I don't know the word of God, then I'm going to have to learn what the word of God has said in order for me to let it rule in my heart richly, right?
Right.
Correct.
So we need to get up seeking after God's word. And I think what we oftentimes see happen to us is that we go to bed, we wake up, we get up, and we start our day without spending time with the Lord.
Right. That's true.
Yeah.
We're always in such a hurry.
In a hurry.
Amen.
And that's a big mistake.
Yeah, it is.
That's
it
right. We don't take time for the goodness of the Lord to kind of embrace us, engulf us, to get basically surround us like saran wrap or bubble wrap or whatever you want to call it. So all these darts, these fiery darts, as we say in the Bible, don't attack us. So we can have love, peace, joy, happiness, and all these other virtues in us. So if we would just take that time to just, I don't know if you guys can hear that motorcycle in the back, I'm sorry if you do, you know, all these things of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, and faithfulness, and self-control. If we were bubble-wrapped in Christ, maybe that's a sermon.
Yeah.
Are you bubble-wrapped in Christ?
Amen.
We wouldn't have to worry about anything else. You know.
Because
you know,
the bubble wrap in Christ will protect us from everything else that's out there.
Yeah.
Right. Correct.
Yeah. That's it.
That is correct.
That's it.
That is so correct.
That's
that is
it.
So correct.
And Reverend Carolyn, you were saying some things just now. And after you got finished, Sister Inez said, no room. She said, no room. There's no room. I can't remember the flow of what was said, but I remember you said some things and she said no room. And as she was saying that, I was thinking, one of the ways we can keep from doing wrong is if we're so full of right. Because if we're so full of right, it's going to be hard to do wrong. It ain't going to be no room. If we're so full of doing right, then it ain't going to be no room to do wrong. And so that's where my mind went. As you were saying those things, I never said no room. Because if there's no room in us to do wrong because we're so full of right, then it's going to be a less than the chances that we do wrong. The chances will be less that we do wrong because we're so full of right. And how do you get so full of right? By accepting Christ.
By allowing the word to rule in us richly.
Yes.
Let the word dwell in us.
And I have a comment from a listener. They says, right. And I have a comment from Melissa. It says, you can command your morning, but you can also command your day. So if you take control of your day and invite Christ in first, you don't have no problem, you know, because all the light that's going to be in you, there's no room for the darkness. There won't be no darkness.
Yeah.
You know.
Amen.
So, you know, you let your light shine.
That is correct. That is a hallelujah moment.
Yes.
Yeah. Sum that up.
Did you hear? Did you hear it, Cuz?
Yeah.
Which one?
Sum that up again. Sum that up again. Or the listener could sum it up. Sum that up again. Just sum it up. You know how you do them rewind. You may not be. You just said the same way the second time. Sum that.
You can command your morning and you can command your day. That part?
Yeah.
Or the other part, as far as letting, taking on the light, you know, just letting the light in, and there was no room for any darkness. There's no room for no darkness, none at all, no evil stuff. There's no room because they're going to shine away. It's just too bright. It's just like having one of the fluorescent lights just on your forehead. You know, as you go through the day, it's like, ooh, turn that light off. Oh, no, honey, that's Jesus coming out of me. I'm letting my light shine. You don't like it, put on some sunglasses and you know, do what you got to do. But this is my light, so don't be trying to dim what I know I got inside of me. You know, maybe you might come to the light and take part, and maybe your day won't be so dark. I'm just saying.
Amen. Same thing. So full of light, there's no room for darkness. Same thing. So full of light, we become so full of light, as was said, we are so full of light, then there won't be no room for darkness. So that makes sense. And brings even more clarity to what we were just discussing. So thank that person much for that.
That was me. She was talking about commanding the day. I'm the one who's talking about the light. That was me.
Okay.
She was talking about commanding your day and commanding your morning. And then I added on the part.
Amen. I like that too, though. I like that commanding your morning and your day. Yeah. All of it fits like a glove.
And she says we are cities.
All of it fits.
Right. We are cities set upon a hill. You know, we'd be overlooking the towns like, hey, come on up to my side of the world, you know.
Yeah.
But,
I'm thinking of the Jeffersons. Moving on up.
To the east side. Yes, we did.
Trying to move on
up.
Come on up here where things are better. Things are better up here because Christ has made them better. So that's, you know, they're not better because that's where we are. Things are better where we are. They're not because we made them better. If things are better wherever we are, it's because Christ has made them better. And that needs to be explained so people get to thinking it's about them.
Right. And then she was saying, we are city set up on a hill, a light that cannot hide.
Scripture. That's the word. That's the word.
She's deep. Yes, she's
That's
deep
the
in her scriptures. That's the, yes, sir. Yes.
So I ask a question.
Yes.
Once we got through reading these fruit of the spirit, have we put on the fruit of the spirit? Well, you know, the question can be asked, but what's more important? Are we demonstrating? Are we demonstrating these things? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
We can ask that question. Somebody can answer that question any way they want to. We can ask, are you carrying the fruit of the Spirit with you? Do you have the fruit of the Spirit? And we can say yes all day long. and then our lives reflect something different. So what makes the most difference, or
can
what
I,
makes all of the difference, well, are we demonstrating?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Right. And can I put this? It's going to be crazy. It says, and what was it, what did you just ask, Reverend Rodney?
Have we put on the fruit of the Spirit? Those things we read. Have we put on the fruit of the Spirit?
Okay. Or have our fruits gone rotten?
Okay.
That's another sermon.
Yeah. We don't want no rotten fruit.
Right. Exactly.
We don't want no rotten fruit.
So we need to pick them when they're fresh.
Because what do we do with rotten fruit? We throw it out.
Throw
it
out.
In this house, we sometimes our fruit. We don't eat it fast enough, and it becomes to the point where we have to throw it out.
Rotten. Mm-hmm. Like
rotten.
I did strawberries today. He needs to quit that noise.
If,
I'm sorry. Can you hear that on the? Can you hear that in the background?
Yeah, it's not really noticeable. Not for me.
Okay.
I don't know about others, but it's not noticeable.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't consume those strawberries in a period of time that's reasonable.
Timely. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Timely. What's gonna happen?
That's right. They spoil.
Exactly.
They were looking kind of moldy.
They will spoil.
Mm-hmm. They will spoil.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I must be patient with my fellow man's action while at the same time forgiving unconditionally the actions of others as Christ has forgiven me. I must be patient. I must be patient with people. I must be patient with people who, you know, who are getting on my nerves. I gotta be patient with people.
Right.
while at the same time, I got to forgive unconditionally the actions of others as Christ has forgiven us.
Right.
Verse number 13,
true.
Bearing with
so
one
true.
Another. That's what that means, y'all. Bearing with one another.
Mm-hmm.
And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other
mm-hmm.
as the Lord has forgiven you.
Gave
so
me.
You also.
Awesome.
So you also so, must forgive.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we're still talking
yes.
and discussing being a committed disciple. A committed disciple is one who understands that, listen, I got to suffer some with you. I can't,
mm-hmm.
you know, just because you're not where I am yet. Just because I'm not where you
mm-hmm.
are yet, I have to suffer some with you. I have to forgive you in love because that's what Christ did.
Right.
For us. Forgave us.
Mm.
And some of us.
This needs to be spoken on a megaphone.
Yeah, amen. Forgive others as Christ has forgiven us.
Yes.
Sometimes that's difficult for
yes.
us to do. Sometimes it really is. And we get fast and firm in our ways, and we get set. I'm not going to forgive her. I'm not going to forgive him. I'm not going to overlook what was done to me. But that's not what God said.
Right. Mm-mm.
It's not what the
No,
word.
It's not.
Am I patient?
No, it is not. Mm. Hmm.
Am I patient? And we're asking the question now. Think about this. Are you patient with people? Are you patient with your fellow man and woman? Are you patient? Are you patient
hmm.
with children?
Hmm.
Are you
hmm.
patient with your coworkers? Are you patient with folk who live on your street? Are you patient with your relatives, your in-laws, whatever? Are you patient with people? Or
hmm.
is your patience short-lived, has a short fuse?
Mm, mm, mm.
Am I always giving God thanks?
Say, mm, mm.
This is good right here. Am I always giving God thanks for everything through Jesus Christ? Am I always giving God thanks And verse 17 says, and whatever you do, and this is in chapter 3, and whatever you do, it didn't pick and choose, y'all, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch this. Giving thanks to God the Father through Jesus Christ. Am I always giving God thanks? I think many of us fall short here. Am I always giving God thanks for everything? I think many of us fall short here. Am I always giving God thanks for everything? I think many of us fall short here because of the word everything. Am I always giving God thanks for everything? We do okay giving God thanks
good
for
or
Jesus
bad.
Christ. We do okay. We do okay doing it through the name of Jesus Christ, because we know how to pray through the name of Jesus Christ. But do we give God thanks for everything?
Right.
I think we get caught up and don't give God thanks for everything. It says we should give God thanks for everything. The beginning of the day, at the end of the day, and all throughout the day, we should be giving God thanks. Not for something, but for everything, because that's what it says in the Word. And I think we should take that literally, not figuratively.
What has helped me is the scripture that says all things work together for the good of those who love the
good
Lord
and
all
the Lord.
So then I know that no matter what is going on in my life, even when it's bad and ugly, there's still some good in it for me. So that is what has helped me to be able to give God thanks for everything. And I'm just sharing it with you because it helps us see, again, it's no good to just know scripture and not do anything with the scripture. We got to let the scripture be lived out in our lives. And that is what the word said when we read that in verse number. Let the word, verse number 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart to God. And whatever you do, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. When you put that to practice in your life, I'm just saying this is what has helped me to put it into practice. But when you put it into practice, you walk around with a thankful heart. You walk around saying to yourself all day, thank you, Lord, in so many different ways. Thank you, Lord, for covering my car. Thank you, Lord, for allow me to get my car washed. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to get my oil changed. Thank you, Lord. You just have an attitude of gratitude.
Of thanks.
And that attitude of gratitude will put you in a different place in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Sure will.
Yes.
I'm saying to you all, that's what has helped me. And if it helped me, it'll help all of us.
Amen.
Be able to do better and live more of a successful life. You know, because the natural thing in the flesh is for us to complain and find faults, right?
Right.
Right.
Right. That's true.
That's what the Lord wants for us. He wants us to not be grumbling, mumbling, and complaining. He wants us to be enjoying life, the fruit of life, the benefits of life, being able to do what we need to do for him.
That's right.
That's another true one.
Truism. Mm-hmm.
Another truism.
Mm-hmm.
And you started out. Mm-hmm. You started out, Reverend. You were saying something about it's not just good enough to know the word. You know, we got to move beyond.
You have to live it.
Knowing.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Move beyond just knowing the word, because it makes no sense if I know how to fix my car.
Mm-hmm.
But my car sitting out in the yard, bro. My car sitting out in the yard. I can't even drive it because I know how to fix it. But I haven't applied my knowledge. I haven't applied the knowledge that I have to fixing the car. I got it. I know how to do it. But I have not applied it. I'm sitting here hungry. I'm not sitting here hungry. If I was sitting here hungry and you have the knowledge how to cook good barbecue chicken, you know how to cook good barbecue chicken, but you haven't applied that knowledge to that chicken. I'm just going to sit here and be hungry. Can y'all feel me? I'm just going to sit here and be hungry because you haven't used the knowledge that you have to help me out. And that's what I heard Reverend say. We have to move beyond just knowing. And we all been reading and studying the Bible and hearing teaching and sermons and in Sunday school all our lives. So a lot of the Bible we know, but it's more about applying it.
Application. Mm-hmm.
Application.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because we can talk about it all we want. Nothing to it but do it.
Nothing to it but to do it.
Plain and simple.
And so Jesus has already done so many things for us, right? And because he's done so many things for us, he's not just going to jump up and make a lot of things happen for us. We've got to do our part. And when we do our part, he will do the rest.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So let us not forget.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm.
That's right. Mm. That's right. We're gonna end with rules for the Christian household. Rules for the Christian household. And I begin to read at verse number 18. These are rules for a Christian household. Wives, submit to your husbands. Wives, submit to your husbands as it is fitting in the Lord.
Mm.
Verse 19. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with her. Verse number 20. Children, obey your parents. These are rules for a Christian household. Parents or children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Verse number 21.
Yes.
Fathers, do not provoke
your children.
Do not provoke them lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters. You got to remember the time this was
given.
Not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Verse number 23, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. Verse number 24, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. For the wrongdoers will be paid back for the wrong he has done. And there is no partiality. And the wrongdoers will be paid back for the wrong he has done. And there is no partiality. So we don't have to settle the score. Let's jump to that verse right there. We don't have to settle the score, because the score is going to be settled by the Lord. As a true and committed wife, I must live my life as if it is not my own, but Christ, understanding and supporting my husband in ways that honor God as he follows Christ. As a committed wife, I must live my life as if it is not my own, but Christ, understanding and supporting my husband in ways that honor God as he, again,
he, Father in Christ, is very important. So the question is that, am I living my life as if it is not my own,
mm-hmm.
but as if it belongs to God? Do I truly attempt to understand and support my husband in ways that honor God as my husband follows Christ? And this is coming directly from the text. And reworded and put in the form of statements and questions. As a true and committed husband, I must show the love of Christ to my wife. I'll read that again because I am a husband. As a true and committed husband, I must show the love of Christ to my wife and love her unconditionally as Christ loved the church. Now I ask myself, do I show the love of Christ to my wife? Do I love my wife unconditionally as Christ loved the church? As a true and committed child, see, it talks about everybody. If I don't have no children on the line, but some of us maybe have children or grandkids, as a true and committed child,
right.
I must always seek to please the Lord, which includes obeying my parents. We need to teach our children, our grandkids, or whatever. We need to be teaching them to obey. Teaching them to obey us. Am I seeking to please the Lord, which includes obeying my parents? Yes. Did you have something?
No. I was just saying how to obey.
Mm-hmm. Amen. That's what we should be teaching. So it talks about, in these verses, it talks about the wife. It talks about the husband. It talks about the child. Now it makes a statement about a father. As a true and committed father, I must always seek to treat my children in a manner that's encouraging to them. So just because we the parent, we can't treat the kids any kind of way, you know? We can't pull that card and say, well, I'm your mama, I'm your daddy. You do what I say, and don't do what I say.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm seeking to treat my children in a manner that is encouraging them.
That's all I gotta say.
Yeah. Right.
All I gotta say is
And the one thing that Paul can say is that we are able to see where we have gotten off as off base, even if we are truthful with ourselves. We are able to see where and how we've gotten off base, right?
Right. Right.
Now what we need to do the work to get back on track. And when we do the work to get back on track, the Lord will honor everything that needs to be done. But when we're not living within his will and doing things the way we want to do, that's where the problem comes.
That's right. That's right. As a true and committed disciple.
Right back to what we said in the beginning about dying to the flesh. When I died to the flesh, see, because the flesh is going to be telling me things like, you don't have to do that for Rodney. You don't have to do that. You don't have to honor him in that way. That the flesh is going to be telling me that. But the spirit will be saying, according to the word of God, this is what I need to be doing because this is what I need to try. And when I'm trying to please Christ instead of pleasing myself, then all of the other things will fall into place, right?
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
So that's what I need to do. And so many of us do things differently, and it doesn't have anything to do with Christ It has to do with our own selfishness. And when we are selfish, we get into trouble. Because if I'm not thinking about the welfare of my husband, the welfare of my children, the welfare of myself, and I just want to think about what's good for me, then that's when I will get off base and not be doing the things that God wants me to do. So we need to be praying and asking the Lord to teach us how to not be what? Selfish even.
That's right.
That's right.
Can't be selfish. Can't be. You got need to be sharing. And Reverend Rodney, one of your listeners said earlier you had some great analogies earlier before we started talking about submitting your a wife submit to your husband. I have to tell you that.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
To God be the glory. And you may want, we may want to read this so that we can get the flow of it and the continuity of it. Just read this entire, because we really look at the whole chapter, entire chapter 3.
Right.
So you may want to just read through it without stopping, as we did, breaking it up, studying it, and talk about it. Maybe want to just read through the whole thing to get the flow of it. But this Colossians is one of my favorite books, because it gets right to the point on how we should be living as Christians, as followers,
right,
as disciples. Right to the point. And it talks about every segment of the family, and it talks about, you know, because it really gets into how the slaves should be acting, how the wives, the father, the husband, children. It really breaks it all down. And it's still so applicable today. This word is still applicable today.
Today.
I know we know that. Still applicable. Still applicable.
And as you were breaking down that last section, it sounded like it was, I want to say, it was like pre-marriage, you know, teaching each other, the husband-to-be and the wife-to-be, how to treat each other. That's what it sounded like to me, as a good information as far as, you know, how do you treat each other? What do you do for each other? Even it says, wives, submit yourselves to your husband as it fits in the Lord, and husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. And sometimes they don't get that, people don't get that training prior to getting married, but the way that you were speaking and broke it down, it was easy, you know, for those of us who aren't, who can't break things down and marinate on them and spit them out and apply them to everyday life. So I just want to let you know that those were like easy words to digest.
Yes, and those are the things that we also include in marital counseling.
Okay, because it sounded like it. It did sound like. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Right. Let's add this as we find our way to closing. It's a sin to do things half-heartedly for the Lord. And I think that's in the text tonight as well, Reverend Carolyn. It's a sin. It's a sin to do things half-heartedly, because verse number 23 says, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for man.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that tells me that we need to be given, we need always be putting our best, as they say, our best foot forward. Always be trying to do the very best we can. All the time, but especially when we're doing things on behalf of the Lord or the kingdom of God.
Right.
Whatever you do, work heartily as if for the Lord, not for man, knowing that from the Lord you will receive. You will receive their inheritance as your reward. That's where your reward is going to come from, not the pat on the back or the accolades we get. But our true reward is going to come from the Lord. Am I always seeking to obey, please, and obey God in all that I do? Go ahead.
No, I was going to say what it sounds like to me. It says, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as unto not unto men. It's like, you know, don't be trying to. Well, shoot, don't be trying to. Doggone, I lost the word. Trying to impress man, but you know, whatever you do, do it unto God, and He will reward you, so that you don't have to try to impress man. That's how I read that verse.
Yes, that makes sense. That makes sense. You know, we're not called to impress anybody. We're just called to be true. And I like to say it like this. Just, you know, just throw the chips up and let the chips fall where they may. You know?
Where they may.
Fall where they may. If we're trying to do right, if we're trying to live right and do right, then, you know, throw the chips up and let them fall where they may. Because, you know.
Right, right. Because you don't have to work hard to please the Lord. Just as long as you do right, they're fine, because you'd be working and sweating and carrying on, and it's like, oh, Lord, I know I'm not,
right.
And man's like, you know, they'll tear you down, wear you down, and just, like, you know, make you work harder, and it's not necessary. And I'm not here to impress man.
Right.
I'm here to, you know, to do
That's
God's
right.
work and, quote, unquote, impress Him, but He doesn't have to be impressed.
I know, Lord, I had a preacher friend that used to say all the time, there's no law against right. There's no law against doing right. There's no law against right. If you're trying to do right, there's no law against right. I mean, you know, there's no law against right. The laws are when you start doing wrong, that's when they're going to affect you. But there's no law. There's no law against right. There's no law against right. And finally it says, do you understand that God, do you understand, verse number 25, for wrongdoers will be paid back for the wrong he has done. And God is going to be fair about it, because it says there is no partiality. Wrongdoers are going to be paid back. Do you understand, do we understand that we will be held accountable for all the wrong that we have done, regardless to who we are? Do we understand that we will be held accountable for all the wrong that we have done, regardless to who we are? Because it says the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there's no partiality. I'm going to be, Lord, I'm going to be fair about it. I'm going to be fair.
Mm-hmm.
Is that wrong? Has to be paid back, and I'm going to be fair about it. Questions, comments, suggestions, concerns.
That's perfect.
Thank you. No. Come to the close.
So we'll do part two next week, next time, right?
We'll do. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So all you y'all out there in listening land who want to be committed disciples, stay tuned. A couple of weeks, we're going to go to part two, things I need to do
stay
to
tuned.
Measure whether or not I am a disciple. Great.
Amen.
Yay.
Let us pray.
I'm excited.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your blessings tonight. We thank you, oh God, for your word that is true. Even when we're untrue, your word is true. Your word is always true, oh God. So thank you for revealing, tuning back, pulling the covers back, and showing us some things on tonight, oh God. We do love you, and we do give you all of the praise and all of the honor and all of the glory. We thank you again for how good you always are to us, oh God. We thank you for how you always are caring for us. And we thank you, oh God, for how you continue to make a way, even sometimes when it looks like a way can be made. One time when we lie down, oh God, we don't know how it's going to turn out. But when we get up, you already worked it out. So I thank you, oh God. Again, we are rejoicing for Reverend Lil. Thank you, oh God, for the completeness of this procedure. And we thank you for the effectiveness of this procedure, oh God. And we know it was because of
you.
We thank you for allowing the hands of the physicians to do what was done. But we thank you, oh God, because it is because of you. And now we pray that you continue to give her strength and allow her to continue to preach and serve you at even a higher level, oh God. Make things even more perfect for her now. So we thank you and we love you, oh God. We continue to pray for this broadcast, Do It All in the Mall. We continue to pray, oh God, that you will continue to bless it, send shoppers, send people to put products in the mall. We ask that you continue to send listeners, oh God. And most of all, we just pray as the word is taught and preached, oh God, throughout the week and on Sundays, oh God. We just pray most of all that you will touch somebody who don't know you as a Savior, and that that person will come to know you as a Savior, oh God. That's why we do all that we do, that people will be joined unto you as a Savior, oh God. And once we become saved, we pray that you move us to being committed disciples, oh God, as we have looked at tonight. We love you. Thank you. Bless the hands, oh God, that are working behind the scenes, the many people whose names are never mentioned, oh God.
Thank you, Lord.
Who are working behind the scenes to make all this happen. And so I pray that you give them strength as well and encourage them, oh God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Well, thank you.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
Today, and we will be back again in a couple of weeks, and we pray that you are being blessed as we are in giving it. We pray that you are being blessed in receiving it. So thank God for you.
Yes.
And all of you, and we pray that your homes will be blessed and that you will be more than you could ever even think or imagine in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. And do you mind saying a prayer for all those people in the path of the hurricane?
Yes. How's the weather doing where you are?
I'm fine. I mean, the sun is out. You know, people are acting like nothing ever happened. So we just had some wind and rain, so it wasn't bad at all. But that's all we all is you get the elements. We don't get too much. I mean, some of the ground was soaked, and some of the trees were lifted, and some electricity was out in some other places where it may have been closer to them. But where I am, I'm good. I didn't feel a thing. Didn't feel a thing.
Right.
So I was blessed. Everybody said, how you doing? I said, I'm covered in the blood. That's what I tell them.
That's exactly right. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and bless you, and we honor you, and we thank you even for the storm, because everything concerning you and your weather has a purpose, oh God. And we thank you for the rain. We thank you for the sunshine. We even thank you for the wind, oh God. Now we pray that people will be safe, and that no additional hurt or harm will come to them. We continue to lift up the families that are uncovering their loved ones from the building having collapsed, oh God.
Yes.
So we pray that
you
bring strength and peace to all of them. We just thank you now for what you are doing, for you are letting us know that the ultimate charge is yours in all areas, and all we can do is just sit back and watch and know that you are taking care of everything concerning us. In the name of Jesus, we bless your name and we honor you, and we're believing that you're going to make all things possible through Christ Jesus. In the name
thank
of Jesus
you,
Christ,
thank you, thank you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen again. Let me see if I have anything from the people out in the audience. If they have, okay, she says, don't forget the song. I won't forget the song. She said, yes, amen. So the song that they want us to play is God Is. I will play that song because it's a beautiful song. And then go into commercial. And I love me some God Is and some Fully Committed. Yes, Lord. Yes.
Amen.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yes, thank you, thank you, thank you. Yes, he is.
God,
yes, he is. I've been requested to play Fully Committed again by one of our listeners, so I'll play Fully Committed, and then we will close out this evening's Bible study. And if they want to leave, we want to thank Reverends Carolyn and Rodney McCullough for this evening's Bible study on A Committed Disciple, which we will come back in 2 weeks. So have your scripts ready, those who I sent them to, and you can follow them. But also read Colossians 3, the whole entire chapter, which that is where we took our text when we were studying from. So thank you all for listening and being fully committed.
of my life, I'm fooling.
Rights to any information or music you hear at Let's Do It Radio.
Thank you. Have a blessed evening. Please tune in tomorrow with Sergeant Parks as we talk about reparations. Amen. Amen. And thank you, Reverends Carolyn and Rodney McCullough, for a wonderful evening of Bible study.